Grab a drink and have a seat. It's time to chat with the hottest new artists and songwriters around. This is Back Porch Sippin' with Lindsay.
What's up, Back Porch Sippin' fam? Hope y'all are having a fantastic week so far. I'm coming to you from the green room at Hop Springs Beer Park in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. That's right, we're gearing up for a show tonight. One of my favorite guys, Josh Ward, playing tonight with special guest Braxton Keith. And so you already know I had to see if the boys wanted to hop on the podcast, and that's exactly what we are doing. While I get everything set up for you real quick, I want to share one of my all-time favorite Josh Ward songs. If you don't know who he is, trust me, after this interview, you're going to be a big old fan. So might as well get it kicked off with some badass music. This is The Devil Don't Scare Me by Josh Ward.
Preach about fire and brimstone. I was shaking in the shoes and the pew I sat on, 12 years old, afraid of where I'd go. 10 years later, wondered how I got here, where neon burns and they sell cold beer. Heaven seemed so far away. 'Cause ever since the night she left me, ain't a damn thing that can help me. I've tried praying, I've tried whiskey, it's living hell wishing she'd miss me. Though I ain't afraid to die, 'cause I lost the one thing I was living for. My attention. Now when lightning strikes, it only gets me wishing that it strike me. But I ain't that lucky. The curve in the road used to slow me down. Now 90 miles an hour, 2 wheels off the ground, it can't hurt me now. 'Cause ever since the night she left, ain't a damn thing that can help me. I've tried praying, I've tried whiskey, just living hell wishing she'd miss me. No, I ain't afraid to die, 'cause I lost the one thing I was living for.
All grit, no quit. Of course, got to know, where'd that even come from?
All grit, no quit's kind of a thing that I've lived by, I mean, all my life. I mean, from bull field to rodeo, I mean, you gotta have try to go do anything in life. And I've been dealt some hands in life that I had to overcome a lot of things. And that's kind of my way of keeping my head straight. Everything comes at you at one time, and you're like, man, what do I do? You gotta have grit.
Yeah.
You gotta reach down inside yourself and pull out whatever it is. And all grit, no quit. 20 years of playing music, never quit. You know, I say quit. I took a break, but to quit and give up music full time, I never could get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, the rodeo side of things, riding bareback horses, I wasn't the best in the world. You know, I had buddies around me that were way better than me, but my try and my grit is what got me where I was at. But, you know, that was, I would say, short-lived, but that all grit, no quit has followed me around all my life.
Yeah.
So, from a young man, others ask me, you know, what is it? I even told Braxton the other day, I was like, if you want this bad enough, you got to go get it. You got to be hungry. You got to want it. You got to love it. There's going to be obstacles that get in your way that's going to tell you, no, you can't go do this. You're not able to do this.
Right.
It's all you. It's what you want to do.
So talk to me about how did you go from the rodeo life to music?
Well, a lot of that transpired through, you know, high school rodeo. Rodeoed a bunch in high school, and then a few years after, I got done riding bucking horses and working the oil field at the same time after I graduated, and kind of morphed into the music thing was always there. Young age, I was in church choir about 4 years old. Sang in church choir. Grandpas and uncles were into Jones and Haggard and, you know, that kind of thing. And then my older cousins were into 80s hair metal. So I had all kinds of genres of music around me. And I was just a sponge when I was young, man. I just soaked it up. And about, oh, I don't know, my eighth grade year, my buddy Sonny Faulkner had a fire engine red Stratocaster, Fender Stratocaster, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I was like, man, I want to learn how to play guitar. And he's like, well, start coming over after school, and we'll, you know, his dad taught him how to play, and I'll show you some chords, and bought an old cheap pawn shop. I think it was an All-Star pawn guitar. That's what it said on the inside of it. And I learned three chords, G, C, and D, man. That's all you really got to know. But, yeah, I started picking around and joined some bands that were a lot older gentlemen than I was. They played the kind of music that I liked. So I got in there and became the lead singer of Southern Breeze. That was the first band that I ever played for. And man, I loved it. You know, they thought it was cool to have a young kid that liked to sing old country music like they did. And there was one day, it came time, they said, you know, we're going to have to let you go. And I said, for what? What did I do wrong? And they said, you didn't do nothing wrong, son, but we can't hold you back. You need to go do this. And I was like, well, I don't want to quit. You know, I don't want to go nowhere. We're having fun, but... Yeah, they kicked me out of the nest, and sure enough, I mean, I never looked back. I kept playing the old beer joints down in Southeast Texas, and then got to open up for Aaron Watson. The first big show that I ever did was with Aaron Watson, and we opened up for him at the Hall of Fame at College Station. It's long since been gone now. There's a Walmart Supercenter there now, distribution place. But it was one of the biggest honky-tonks. You remember the Hall of Fame, don't you? Old Johnny Lyons Club. When Johnny died, he had it in his will that club was gone. And the family split it up, sold it to Walmart. So that was the biggest one. Valentine's Night, I'll never forget it all my life. Here we are, this little old East Texas man. I mean, we showed up in a four-door pickup truck. and a little old single-axle trailer and thought we was on the road. Thought we was doing it. Man, I walked out of that green room, walked up that ramp, and I mean, all you see was a sea of people. And I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? I played Merle Haggard. I played George Jones. I played some of my stuff. And they dug it. And I was like, man, this is all right. I think I can do this. So, kept on. 20 years. This year makes 20 years.
Wow.
Of playing music on the road for a living. You know, there was a lot of times where I was still working day jobs. And,
right.
You know, hustling and trying to, you know, you work till 6:30 that evening, drive as long as hard as you can to get to the Friday night show and play there, leave there at 3 o'clock in the morning, drive to the next one, come home, same thing on Sunday, and then you're getting up at 4:30 that morning going to work on Monday. And it just got to be, man, it got to be dangerous, really. I mean, there was a couple times I run off the road, and like I was telling you the other night, you can only push yourself so far until it starts pushing back. And when you're wrapped up in a barbed wire fence out there, kicking your tire, going, how did I get here? It's because you need sleep, you need to rest, you need to recharge. So that's one thing that if I could tell anybody that's coming up, push it, but know your limits, because that fast it can happen, you know? And now it's not you. It's you and those six other guys that's in the truck with you or in the bus with you or whatever. It's not about you anymore. It's about them. It's about keeping this whole thing afloat. And without you, there ain't none of that. So, sorry, I kind of skipped to that part of the music life that nobody ever sees.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, I mean, new record coming out this year in September. Been working on it for 4 years. And people look at me and go, why 4 years? And if it was up to me, I'd done had two records out by now. But COVID got us.
Yep.
And shut us down for a while. And I went down there to the ranch and wrote some more songs. And to be honest with you, that little break right there kind of did me good, because I had songs for the record, but it wasn't the songs that I really wanted.
Right.
And in that time, I went to the ranch. I wrote some songs down there. my license had gotten, they expired. So during COVID, and you couldn't go to the DMV because they were shut down to get your license. And all I had was a paper slip saying that this was my right to drive, right? So you can't fly with one of them. So going to Nashville, we said we can't fly, so heck with it. We just loaded up in the bus. Mm-hmm. And I was on my way to Nashville, and I called my son, Jace, and he was supposed to be getting some boots from James. These people right here are familiar. And I asked him, I said, son, did you get with Mr. James on them boots? He said, yes, sir, I did. I said, what size are you wearing now? He said, oh, about 11 double E. I said, dang, boy, you big enough to be walking in my boots. Didn't think nothing about it. Get to Nashville, get in the writing room with Wyatt and Carson. They said, what do you want to write about? And I told them that little story. He said, well, there's your song. I said, about what? He goes, that's your song about your son. And walking in my boots was born in about 5 minutes. So to take the break, and as mad as I was about that break, mm-hmm. it brought me some good fortune with some good songs. And then the next 2 years, I had a pretty bad horse wreck and set me back a bit. And just to be honest with you, I mean, I lost focus. I really did. It's hard going from a knock like that to bounce back and stay in the same mind frame of go, 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 go when your body's that beat up.
Yeah.
And heck, I think I was off for 2 months. And did I need to come back? Should I have come back in that 2 months? No. I wasn't near ready when I got back on the road. But I knew that 9 other people depended on me. Once again, it's not about you. You have to take care of yourself. But at the end of the day, you're still looking out for that crew, those band members, this show, whatever. That's what I told you about Andrew. When he called me and told me, don't worry about your career. We're going to pick up right where we left off. You have to have those people in your corner. Because without him, I wouldn't have come back to anything. So it put me down pretty good. But I think that taught me a lesson also of going back to the all grit, no quit.
Mm-hmm.
If you want it, pick yourself up. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Nobody can do this for you. Nobody can. You're the one that controls your whole destiny. And I know that kind of sounds cliche because you hear it all the time. But it's the one thing that's true. It doesn't matter who you have working for you. It doesn't matter who you have, you know, coaxing you along. If you give up, you give up. Don't. Reach down, put some gravel in your gut, and freaking move on.
Yeah.
You know, these people out here that pay this hard-earned money to get in here, yes, they're concerned about your well-being. But if you're going to go play a show for them. Be in that mindset of five or 5,000, or my eyeballs are popping out of my head. I've got a 12-inch scar running down my abdomen right now that hurts to even hold a guitar up against. They can't feel that. Don't show it to them. Play your show. That's what they paid their hard-earned money for. So, all grit, no quit, that's where it comes from.
Wow. And of course, tonight you're playing here in Tennessee. I'm actually from Missouri, so first time I've seen you. Mm-hmm. A lot of different times over at Southbound in Springfield.
Right.
So, looking a little different, that place back home, a lot smaller than here.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I seen you at Cahoots a few years ago.
Yes,
so.
Ma'am.
How has it been getting back into the swing of things post-surgery and all of that? I know you spoke a little bit about, you know, holding the guitar up to you and stuff.
Yeah.
It's difficult for sure.
It is. I mean, heck, I went through just physical therapy on my side of not going to the physical therapist and this is what you have to do. It was kind of like an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Training after an injury, you know, a lot of breathing techniques, because imagine having a heart attack, okay? When you have a heart attack, it knocks your everything down, your immune system, it knocks your blood flow down, it knocks your oxygen flow down, and your body is weak. And it takes a while to gain that energy back up. I mean, they pumped out, almost bled to death, they pumped out 3 liters of blood out of my abdomen. And I was about 20 something minutes from, he said, you went to sleep, never woke up.
Wow.
The thing about it is, I waited around about an hour and a half before I went to the doctor. I got all my chores done, but just being a hard head, didn't think it was that bad. But it was to come back, to get back in the studio and listen to what you did prior to the wreck. How strong the vocals were, how much you can push air and all that, and come back and sing on the second half of that record, I had to work my butt off, because you didn't want it to sound different.
Right.
You know, you didn't want to sound like it took you 4 years to create this record. You wanted to sound all the way fluid, all the way through. But even stage, I mean, for the longest time, those canned oxygens like we get in Steamboat, we would wrap them in black gaff tape, because anything that's black, you can't see on stage, it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And I would literally play a verse and a chorus and walk back to the drum riser, pick that thing up, put it down, and go back and sing the rest of the other verse and chorus, because I would be gassed. By the end of that show, 90 minutes, I would walk off that stage. By the time I hit the ramp, I was unbuttoning my shirt, trying to get as much air as I could, and I would walk straight to the bus, get ready, and lay down. Like, just completely exhausted. And I did that for the first year.
Wow.
As far as getting out of bed, I mean, they cut you from the bottom of your sternum past your waistline. I had no muscle control at all. I had to learn how to ride a horse again. I had to learn how to breathe again. Even like, you know, holding that guitar there, it affected my playing, my dexterity in my hands. I mean, everything was affected by this. And it's crazy because Braxton's watched me all week. I'm the old man, right? I'm just 43 years old, but I'm stuck in an old man's body. But all week, the right side of my body, I've got a pinched nerve in my shoulder and my neck. I'm like, everything that happened accident wise happened on the right side of my body. Mm-hmm. So everything's just, you know, but same thing. You can hurt every day. I remember my grandpa getting hurt every day, you know. But them old men still got up and went to work. I am not crippled. I am able-bodied. I might be hurting, but I'm going to get up and go do it. I mean, but to overcome all that stuff, it seems like a blur now.
Yeah.
Then at that time, I would get mad. I would get frustrated because it was like, I know what I'm capable of. But my body's not letting me do it. But after a while, you just have to come to the realization that you're not 18 anymore.
Yeah.
You ain't going to bounce back. And you got to take what the good Lord's still letting you have right now and push forward and use it to the best of your ability. And that's what I do every day. I mean, I can get up hurting, whatever, for 90 minutes. 90 minutes, that's all they want. Give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, you get off that stage, there's a bunch of guys that don't go to meet and greet. They don't sign. You know what? The show does not stop. I've told people for years, man, give them 90 minutes, get off, go to the house. The show doesn't stop until that trailer door shuts. It's all one big show.
Mm-hmm.
Production, crew, all of it. It's all orchestrated. It's all a show. You get off that stage, you go directly to that merch table, and you shake every hand, you hug every neck, and you sign anything from a dollar bill to somebody's arm, if that's what they want. That's what they paid for. They paid for the experience. Love your music, but they want that something they can touch. Something that they can take home. Man, I shook Braxton T's hand tonight. That's a cool sunbuck. I like him. I'm going back to see him. You know, he signed my kid's hat for me. That's something that we are so blessed to be able to do what we love for a living. Because there's hundreds of people out there that would give anything to do what we do.
Right.
Yeah, they might have all the money in the world. They might have all the finer things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'd love to be a singer. We do something that a lot of people can't do. I don't know, man. I think we're pretty lucky.
I would say so. And, you know, we're joined by Braxton Keith as well. So I got to ask, you know, just listening to a glimpse of it, being out on the road with him, What all have you learned from Josh?
What not to do, son?
No, I've been chasing around these boys and I guess a bunch of my mentors for a while. So that's all I do is we just go and we have class. So basically what we do is if it's not an acoustic show, you know, and I'm opening up for Josh, I'm gonna open up, I'm gonna do my 60 minutes, and then I'm gonna go find a spot, either side stage or front row, and I'm gonna watch them give us class.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna learn just, you know, what I'm supposed to do in between songs, how their transitions sound, how often does he turn his back to the audience, you know, stuff like that. And yeah. So I'm always learning. I'm always observing, just trying to get better, you know.
And when did you start doing music? How old were you?
When I started making money doing music was probably about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I love it though. I love to watch this. Mm-hmm. I really do, because it's to see his growth from afar. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but this, I'm proud of this one.
Mm-hmm.
He and I just became buds not too long ago.
Okay.
But I have been watching him do this thing, and I'm like, who in the hell is this kid? I'm trying to figure out how he can put something out there. And I've been saying, tell your mom and them for years. He puts, hey, 2 free tickets, tell your mom and them, and gets 2,000 hits on this thing. And I'm like, all right, he's doing something. But then I watch his show. I watch his demeanor. I watch him around his guys, and I watch his show. And I'm like, there's something special. There's something special about that. So when he's talking about taking notes and all that, yes, as a young artist, I went and did the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, through with my peers. I mean, Kevin, Roger, Daryl Singletary. I mean, guys like that that I honed. My country music, I'm getting chills thinking about it. Last week was Daryl's birthday.
Yeah.
To know where he's at. And to know that he can still look up to somebody and go, yes, I'm taking notes. And the other day I told him, I said, I love you guys being out here with us. This is the best time that I've ever had on the road with anyone. And I said, your job, we're buds, but your job is to go out there and cut my head off every night. Try to cut my head off every night. If you do any less, I'm going to be disappointed in you. Because guess what? After your 60s up, I'm coming after you. And I'm going to show you what my show is. Mm-hmm. Not in an ugly way.
No, right.
But that whole push and pull, that feed off of... Dude, he sent me a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, shit. This is a gold mine. You have got a number one song. Not Texas song. I'm talking about national radio song. That song goes out, you're fixing to blow people's minds. I knew right then and there, he had what it takes to go do this. And then he's got a team behind him that has his back, his back, his back. There's no reason why he can't go do this. Sorry. I cut in on your interview.
No, you're good.
Now, you can interview Braxton Keith.
No, I love it. I mean, that's exactly why I get on road, because I get to listen to everybody's perspectives. But not only that, there's a lot of mistakes that I'm trying to avoid making. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these guys have either watched somebody else make them or made them themselves. And so it's easy for me to go talk to them and be like, hey, man, what do I need to be doing here? Or what do you do in this situation? Or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, hearing everything he just said about you and your band, what does that make? How does that make you feel?
I'm glad. I'm glad he thinks that we're working our asses off, man. Because I mean, for God's honest truth, I've been busting my ass, and I'm, you know, there's no plan B. So you're just out here praying that it works.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear something like that when somebody's like, I can see you busting your ass, and I'm proud of you.
Right. It's a hard industry. A lot of people, you know, new, younger people, up and coming.
Oh, yeah. Everybody with the guitar and iPhone.
Yeah.
That's it.
Pretty much.
But that's the thing, though. I come from the old school.
Mm-hmm.
I come from rodeo background. I come from that oil field background that they didn't pull any punches. You either got it done or you got down the road. And to see a young cat come up like him with that band, with that media guy, with that crew that has the same hunger, the same grit, the same go-to at it every single day, it's refreshing. You don't see that in our younger generation these days.
Right.
You don't see that hard work ethic. You don't see somebody go, you know, I've only been doing this for 6 years, but I've been killing myself for 6 years trying to make something of myself. He didn't get it handed to him. I didn't get it handed to me. So to have that like-mindedness on the road to where I go, he's not a snot-nosed kid.
Right.
That mom and dad goes, there's your chunk of money right there, son. Go play in your career. Go do it. No. He's going to Nashville. He's writing songs. He's going to meetings. He's going and doing all these things. He's riding around in a freaking van in 180 degree weather, Texas weather outside, showing up to play a show for me or with me, that's grit. You gotta have that. You can go sit on your ass at home. Oh, my AC's broke. I can't go do this. Mm-mm. You want it bad enough, you'll figure it out.
Yep.
But it's refreshing to see somebody work that hard.
Definitely. So, Braxton, when you think of the remainder of 2024, I know we're still pretty fresh into it, but I know he's talking about new music that you're working on and things like that. Looking forward to the remainder of the year, are you looking at? You looking at doing some music, maybe an album? What are we thinking?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have probably an album out before the end of the year, but a lot of music for sure.
Nice. If you had to think of one thing that Josh has shown you, taught you, that you're just like, this is it, I'm going to take this the remainder of my career, what would it be?
Well, the dogwood trees bloom during crappie season.
There you go, bub. I knew he was taking notes. We got us a tutorial over here in Pearl, Mississippi. We showed up and had a day off. And we just happened to be parked in the Bass Pro Shop parking lot. And the boys followed us around with cameras all day and stuff. I said, man, this thing's over at the Bass Pro Shop. And I walked in and I see these 20-foot rods and these spider rigs. And I got talking. I said, now listen, they like crappie fishing around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I said, you see them rods out there? That's so you can reach way out there and get them. I said, them dogwoods blooming outside, that means the crappie's starting to bite.
Okay.
And that was before we even walked in the Bass Pro Shop. So they got a tutorial when we got over to the fish tank. I said, you see where that crappie's sitting? Yeah, sitting in that brush pile. I said, you see where he's looking? Yeah, he's looking up. I said, crappie feed up. That's the most finicky fish you will ever try to catch in your life. If that bait's below him, he ain't eating it. You can put it right here in front of him. He ain't gonna eat it. You can put it 6 inches up above him, he gonna eat it. So, anyway, I'm glad you listened. Nothing about music came out of this. Nothing about it.
Oh, right, but at least you're listening to something. That's good.
That's right.
At least he's getting to drink good tequila on the road.
That's right. We got some good tequila.
That's all that matters. Oh, man. Well, I know that it is show day for y'all. You got sound check here in a little bit. Talk to me real quick. How does a show day typically work for y'all from your perspective?
Well, our morning usually starts...
about 30 minutes ago?
Yeah. depends on whether it's a rough road or not. I mean, I might be up at 6. I might be up at noon. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the road's rough, I'll be up very early. But wander around outside in Walmart parking lot for a while, or wherever we're parked at, probably a Flying J or a Pilot. Try to get you some coffee in you and wake up. I mean, day of shows, I mean, all we're waiting for is sound check. I mean, we're living for sound check.
Mm-hmm.
I hope my guitar works today. I hope my vocals are holding out. You know what I mean? You got to take care of yourself on the road for sure. I mean, we have not overindulged. I don't think we have partied like rock stars, which I don't do anymore. But it's one of those deals of just waiting on sound check.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's an anticipation for me to go catch up on a couple emails, maybe a couple phone calls, but I'm right back to what are we going to do? Especially when you got somebody on the road with you.
Yeah.
You can bounce ideas off of them. I mean, I'm always bouncing them off the crew or off the band, but to have someone that you haven't got to work with a whole bunch, hey, man, how do you think the flow of the show go tonight? You know, you want to do it like we did the night before? Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors. That's how we started the show. Literally, on stage. I screwed up the first night, though. And to have someone else's idea, you know, yes, he's only been doing this for a little bit, but I respect him as a musician, as a writer, and as a person, to ask him, what do you think we should do? I don't want to put the ball in my court. I don't want to make all the decisions. This is our show, not mine. So I want to have your input. And he's like, man, what if we just let it be natural instead of you got to follow a set list? He's played the last two nights. He ain't looked at a song one. You know what I got? I got a set list in front of me. I mean, literally, I'm sitting there looking at it like, what are we going to do next?
Yeah.
We've played these songs for how long? You know, I don't want to play this one right now. Can we skip that? Like last night, we skipped all the way to the bottom. Yeah, Chris is like, oh, I wasn't ready for that.
I was watching. I was playing like based off of what you were playing.
Yeah.
So it was cool because, you know, he played different songs, so the crowd gets a different set list than the crowd before, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool to sit back and watch a show, too.
Yeah.
I mean, as a fan, as a, you know, a buddy of his, I can honestly say, yes, we're up there playing a show together, but whenever I get to rock back on the hills like I did last night, set the guitar in my lap, cross my legs, I got to watch a show. And I had the best seat in the house, you know? So I look forward to trips like these, shows like these, because I'm also learning. I'm also taking notes. I'm, you know, what they say back in the old days, Mondo, better sharpen pencil, boys. But I am. I'm sitting over there enjoying that show, but I'm watching what he's doing, and I'm watching what that crowd's looking back and doing for him. And I've always said, Wade Bowen said this. He said, I wish that you could see what I see. And what he's talking about is the crowd. Because they're getting to look at that show, and it's the oohs, the ahs, the visual stimulation of the lights, the music of how it moves you, the time and place you were when you heard that song. They're living their best life. But they don't understand what they're giving us. You can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
When they're giving it back to you, they're loving you, there ain't nothing like it. And to watch that crowd do that to him the other night, the last two nights, it's something cool to see.
Yeah, for sure.
Because as artists, as individuals, we lose sight of that. We lose sight of it. 90 minutes. Crank, 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 crank. You've got to find the love in this. You've got to find the beauty in what you're doing. And if you don't, you need to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Get out and give some room to somebody else that wants it.
Yeah.
And he wants it.
You agree?
Better than anything I ever want. You know?
Yeah.
That's the mindset. You want this more than anything that you have ever wanted in your life. And as long as you can hold on to that, you're going to be all right. You're going to be... I'm still an independent artist 20 years later. He's 6 years into his career, and he's already making moves that I didn't even think was... It wasn't even possible at my six-year mark. I didn't know. I didn't have the knowledge of that. Now, at 43 years old, yeah, I still get out there and honky tonk with the best of them, but I'm still independent. Do I want to go get that deal? Do I want to do this? It's scary to me. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to think with him. Like, that is a scary situation to be there. You know, you're taking everything that you worked hard for, and you're going, here you go.
I'm a betting man. I'm a bet on myself 100% of the time.
I think that's why I'm staying in the position that I am, because I am too. I mean, if you're going to roll them on yourself.
That's right.
You know, and the chances that we've taken in our careers, you know, I mean, even Greg Maldo, his tour manager, sitting in the room with us. That guy was honky-tonking at the same time I was coming up. I mean, the trials, the tribulations, the craziness of the road back then isn't nothing like it is now. I mean, we were some old honky-tonkers in a four-door pickup truck, happy to play to somebody that would just listen to us. Mm-hmm. This is a whole different scale. This is a whole different playing field of what we're playing on now. You know, the media world, the record labels, the publishing companies. I mean, it comes fast. That's what it is. It's so fast-paced. That it's like, if you can't catch it when it goes by, it's going to pass you up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it scares me to death. Be honestly, to still be out here, scares me to death going, what's next year going to be? You know, am I going to jump off the deep end at 40-something years old and go sign with somebody? And I don't know, but I know one thing. I love making music. I love playing with my band. I love running up and down the roads. And there ain't nothing more that I'd want to go, well, besides getting on a good horse. I mean, that's...
Or a good crappie boat.
Or a good crappie, yeah, good crappie. To get up there and do that 90 the way that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Can't nobody take that from you. Can't nobody tell you how to play your show. But it is. It's scary to know what the next year holds.
Right.
And I've done that for 20 freaking years. Well, maybe next year will be better. Heck, I might give it up next year. You know how many times I said that? And in the same breath, go, are you crazy? Everything that you have bled, sweat, tears, lost, sacrificed, you're going to throw it away. For what? Because you got tired of it, you got burnout, you got your feelings hurt because you got passed up? No. Hell no. It wouldn't be worth it. That's the other side of it.
Brax, I know you're still pretty new into it, but knowing what you do so far about the industry and the lifestyle, really, what advice would you give to somebody if someone sent you a DM and was like, hey, I'm trying to get started in this. I don't know what to do.
I don't know. You want me to be honest?
I do. Yeah, of course I do.
I'd say go fuck yourself. Go figure it the fuck out. Ain't nobody help me.
Yep.
I messaged those same motherfuckers when I was that age. And when I was trying to figure this thing out, you know what they did? They left me on red. They didn't open my message. They didn't answer that shit. If I wanted it bad enough, I was going to go fucking get it, whether you helped me or not. If you want it bad enough, figure it the fuck out. Get your ass on the road and go out there and do it. Because, I mean, it ain't going to happen. Just ain't nobody going to hand it to you. There's very few people that get this handed to them. And they're still talented motherfuckers, and they probably deserved it, you know? But hard work is all it is. Nothing comes easy in life. I don't care if you're pulling rods out of the ground, or if you're singing country music, it's hard work. And if you want to work hard at it and come out here with the best of us and work as hard as you can, then I'm more than happy to have you, and I'm more than happy to teach you anything I want to know. You want to know, but I'm not going to just straight up give it to you.
Right.
You can't text a magician and ask him how he did that trick. He ain't going to tell you. But you come out to the show and you watch him a couple times, you might find out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Josh?
My point. In case. I was going to let him say it. I wanted to hear him say that.
Hey, someone had to say it.
Because you know what? Help? There's a difference. There's a difference in between giving something and earning it.
Mm-hmm.
You gain more respect from your peers when you get out and earn it. Not, hey man, I need a handout. This shit wasn't built on handouts. It wasn't. And, you know, they say it all the time. It's show business, not show friends. It's a very, very... It can be evil at times.
Yeah.
But what he said, if I've got a kid coming to me going, I want to do this for a living, and I have them every night walk up going, what would you say? Go get it.
go duck your head, put your nose to the grind, and go get it. That's the only way that you are going to be able to look yourself in that mirror at the end of the day and go, I went and did this. I didn't get given this. So, no. To have someone walk up to me and go, will you help me? Nope. You're going to help yourself. I can point you in a direction, but it's up to you to go make that happen. I can't make it happen, and I'm not going to give it to you.
And that's the best help you can get. Honestly. Yeah.
That is the best help that you can get. Even now, I'm still learning that.
Mm-hmm.
Hard knocks is the best help that you can get.
Yeah.
Because that's going to tell you, nobody's going to give it to me. I can't go ask for this. If I ask for it, I'm going to owe somebody back, right? Do you want to owe yourself the rest of your life? No, you don't. Reach down with those two fingers and stick them in the pool holes and pull your boots up on both feet and get on the road. Go. That's how you go do it. You go freaking earn it. Earn it in front of your peers. They see you doing that, they'll give you the freaking world. If Braxton called me tomorrow and said, listen, I don't know what we're going to do. We need to go do X, Y, and Z shows. I'm not going to think anything about it. Come on. Because I know he's going to go bust his ass.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's going to show up on time. I know I'm not going to have anything going on elsewise. You know, drama, all that kind of stuff. I mean, you live on the road with somebody. Not only do you got to play with them 90 minutes, you have to live the rest of that 24-hour period with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, him, yes, I've seen him. I know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would, but somebody new?
No. But at the same time, I took that like from asking those guys and them not responding.
Mm-hmm.
I took that, and that made me want it worse.
Right.
Wanted more.
Right. I wanted it way worse. And I wanted it way worse than those boys wanted it.
Yeah.
And it shows.
That's the thing. You got to want it more than the next guy.
Yeah. And you got to outlast everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, half of this stuff is people get tired. Nobody wants to be on the road like we are. You don't get to see your friends anymore because your friends are all off on the weekends that you're working.
Right.
And during the week when you're off, everybody's working.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you ain't got no friends no more except for those people that you travel with. And it's a different system to be on. I mean, my parents hate it because I'm always up at random hours of the night.
Right.
So it's a difficult life. And not everybody, it's not, you know, it's not the fantasy everybody thinks.
Yeah.
We're still eating at McDonald's and Waffle House right after the show, just like everybody else.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to the 10-star freaking restaurants at the Ritz-Carlton, you know.
That's what I always say. This isn't for the faint of heart.
No. This has got to be something that you want to do. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't do anything else because I don't know what I'd do. I couldn't sit in an office all day.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. I mean, I might be able to just cowboy all day. That'd be cool. But
damn, cowboying ain't no.
That ain't no walk in the park either.
Yeah, right.
Everything you do is going to be hard work. So it's like,
you just got to choose your hard.
Choose your hard and get it, I guess.
That's the thing. I mean, you know, the only thing for me to fall back on, you know, if it wasn't for the music industry, would be get back in oil field.
Yeah.
Well, the oil field has passed me up by years. Everything's animated now.
Yeah.
Or automated. Sorry, not animated. Automated. I still know what to do, but with the new technology, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, and then the cowboying side of things, I mean, there ain't no way to make a living.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a good way to see God's plan.
It is. And you, and here's the deal. If you're comfortable in your own skin of not needing too much to get by,
mm-hmm.
you can go cowboy because you're going to see some beautiful stuff. Beautiful country. You're going to live in a teepee out in the middle of Arizona somewhere. You're going to push the cows from there to New Mexico. Or you might pick up and go north. You know, get on with the outfit up there. But it's rewarding in certain aspects. You know, to see the country, to be able to ride a good horse, to be able to hang out with your pals and do something you love. But it don't pay the dang bills.
No.
You know? It is a young man's game.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, so yeah, when you're young, I would say go see the world. Go do what you want to. Figure it out. One of these days, you're going to have to wake up.
make some money.
Make some money, reality, that yep. kind of deal. So start being a grown up.
Yep.
I mean, I've often said it sometimes, man, being a grown up sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm a kid at heart. I really am. I will be the first one to go fart around, get away and do nothing. I want to go have fun. If I'm doing it, if we're fishing, I want to have fun. If we're roping, I want to have fun. If we're playing music, I want to have fun. I want it to be a good time. A joke, I try to not be the most serious person in the world, and I actually am. But, man, good Lord spared me now 3 times. This last go-round, I told myself whenever I got out of that hospital, no matter what it is in life, your happiness is everything, okay? And once again, you go back to the only person that can make that happen is you. So live your life to the fullest, because we are not promised tomorrow. And if you believe in what you do, your music, what you do, what he does, you find a sense of peace of this is what I'm going to do. The good Lord allowed me to stay here a few more years on this earth, so I better use it to the best of my ability. So,
absolutely.
There we are. We might be a bunch of old hard-nosed son bucks, but when it gets down to the nut cutting, I'll tell you who's important and why I'm still here.
That's right.
So, but he gave us this life. Live it. What old Matthew McConaughey say? It's about L-I-V-I-N. Living, man.
Man, what a pleasure to have those guys on the podcast. That is Josh Ward and special guest Braxton Keith. Now, don't forget, Josh mentioned he is dropping new music out this year, so be sure to be on the lookout for that. New music dropping this Friday, March 22nd from Braxton Keith. But right now, want to get you a little introduced to his music. So here is a clip of one of my favorites from him, A Little Bit Closer.
Was a haze, was a glow, and just a few more beers, she had a damn halo. The way she's moving across the floor had my attention since she walked through the door. I haven't had the chance to spin her around. I'm done patiently waiting for her to shut him down. Excuse me, could I have this dance? He's already had his chance, and the look you're giving him couldn't get any colder. I'm just trying to see her angel wings a little bit closer.
Thanks for listening to Back Porch Sippin' with Lindsay. Subscribe now to stay up to date and hear new episodes first. Be sure to like and follow us at Back Porch Sippin' POD.